Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 6, and we'll begin at verse 37. Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 37. We'll look at verse 37, 44, and then 65. Are you ready? If you ain't got a Bible, I'm going to read it, so don't worry about it. If you can't find things in the Bible, don't try it, because I'm going to read it. It says in verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out." Now look over to verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now over to verse 65. "And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father." Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that's here this evening. Lord, we're just unable to do anything without your help and your unction. And Lord, we pray that you grant understanding of your word as I preach, and help me as I preach. We pray that if anybody here tonight doesn't know you as Savior, that tonight through this message, they'd see their need for salvation. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Now we're going to ask four questions with regard to this particular verse. And let me give them to you in advance, and then I'll go over them again at the end. Question number one, who is going to come to the Lord? Who is going to come to the Lord? Verse 37 answers that for you, but we're going to get there in just a little bit. Question number two, why do they come? That answer is given in verse 44. Why do they come? Question number three, why are they drawn? Why are they drawn? And then number four, will they lose it? All right, now let me give you the four again. Who is going to come to the Lord? Why do they come? Why are they drawn? And will they lose it? That's the four questions that we're going to draw from these three verses. Are you ready to get into it? I'm ready. It's all right here laying for you to look at. I want to share it with you this evening. These are truths taught by the Master. Lord Jesus taught this in His earthly ministry. All we're doing is selecting three verses to teach from. All right, let's notice first of all and talk a little bit about verse 37. Let's go back there and let's begin to preach now. It says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will no wise, no way, no how, no wise cast them out." That's what He says. Now, what does it mean when He says, "shall come to me"? It says it twice in verse 37. "Shall come to me, him that comes to me." Twice it says it. When you're coming, that's coming to Him for salvation. That's what happened when the Lord saves your soul. I mean, when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart and you begin to want to be saved, then you go to Him for salvation. He doesn't drag you to Him, but this denotes that you come to Him willingly. You come to Him for the salvation of your soul. You see you need it. You see you broke His law. You see you're not ready for eternity. And you understand that Jesus died on Calvary for your sins and rose again the third day. And you come to Him. You come and say, "Lord, I want to trust You as my Savior." And the glorious thing that this text says is Him that comes, what's it say? "I will no wise cast them out." Isn't that a glorious thing? Sometimes people say, "Well, I'm too bad. I'm too bad to come." No, He said, "You come to me, I will not. I will not cast you out." So to come to the Lord means to come to Him for the salvation of your soul. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever come to Him? Have you ever come to Him and asked Him to save your soul? Now, I'm not asking you, do you know you need to? You've either come to Him and trusted Him as your Savior, or you haven't come to Him. The glorious thing, if you're here tonight and you've never done that, if you do come to Him, and you come to Him in prayer, you come to Him by trusting Him, you say, "Lord," you know, the Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you come and say, "Lord, I want to trust You as my Savior. I want to trust that You died on Calvary for my sins." And what He'll do is He washes you clean from your sin, and He gives you everlasting life. So that's the idea of coming to Him. Everybody got it? Now, who is going to come to Him? Who is going to come to him? Notice what it says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So there it tells you who's going to come. Who's going to come to him according to verse 37? Look at your Bibles. All that the Father giveth me, what's it say? They shall come to me. That's just as simple and plain, just right there laying for you to look at. All that the Father giveth me, what are they going to do? They're going to come. They're going to come. They will come to him for salvation. And the Gospel of John chapter 5, notice what it says here in verse 40. John 5 and verse 40. Now here's the problem with folk. Here's the problem with folk. Notice what it says in verse 40. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So why do people not come? They will not. You know, a person is not going to come. Now here's how I believe, and I believe the Bible backs me up on this. A person, if the Lord doesn't draw them, they will not come. They'll just stay right there in their sin, no matter how clear you make it, no matter how strong of an illustration you use to show it, they'll stay right there where they're at. So, John 6:37, what's our question here now on verse 37? The question was, who is going to come to the Lord? And who's going to come to the Lord is who? All that the Father giveth me might come, shall come to me. That's what it says. Everybody see it? Now what we got to do is we got to look at when the Father gave him. I mean, if all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, we got to look and see when the Father gave him. And Mike hit this morning. And Ephesians chapter 1, I'll show you this. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you when you were given to the Father. Now, you might be here tonight and saved and trusted Jesus, but I'm showing you why you did. I'm showing you that you were given to the Son. And I'm going to show you when He done that. Notice what it says in verse 3, begin there. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His... Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So right off the bat, he talks about how God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Then what he does in verses 4 on down is he shows you what those spiritual blessings are. Everybody see it? What's the first one? Verse 4 lists the first one. You got your Bible? What's the first one? According as He hath chosen us in Him. Now, when did He do it? He did it before the foundation of the world. That means before He ever said, let there be light, and there was light. Before He said, let the dry land appear. Before He ever created the things that He made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He made everything. According as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love. Having predestinated, that means the word predestinated means predetermined. He predetermined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. You see the word adoption? I like that word. That's a Bible word. Word adoption. I'm a child of God by being born again. I'm a child of God by new birth. But I'm also a child of God by adoption. What's the difference between the two? There is a difference. What adoption stresses is in adoption, the parent chooses the child. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from? In adoption, you have someone that wants to adopt somebody. It's the parent that chooses a child. In verse 3 of Ephesians 1, it talks about how He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And then the very next verse mentions that He adopted us. He chose to adopt us. When did He determine to do that? Before the world ever began. You know what adoption, you know what else I want you to know about adoption? It costs to adopt. It does. When someone's going to adopt somebody, they'll have to pay a certain, not only must they choose to adopt, but they'll also have to pay a certain amount of money to adopt. Well, I've been adopted. You know who adopted me? The Lord did. He chose to adopt me. And you know what else He did? He paid a great price to adopt me. Does anybody in the house know what that price is? He paid the blood of His own Son. Jesus paid the price of my adoption when He died on Calvary's cross. So it cost to adopt. Now let's go back to our text in John chapter 6. All right, what's question number one tonight? Who is going to come to the Lord? Who is going to come to Him for salvation? Is that not what happens when someone gets saved? They come to the Lord for salvation. And if you go to Him, He won't cast you out. He won't do it. But why do some go and some not? There could be people sitting on the same pew and one person will come for salvation and they all heard the same message, but one will come and one will not. Why is that? Well, it tells us again in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me, what are they going to do? They're going to come. Doesn't say they might come or I hope they come. He says they are the given will come. They will come to Him. When were they given? They were given before the world ever began. Okay? That's when they were given. Book of Revelation chapter 17. Turn there just for a little bit. There are several texts I want to show you here in Revelation. Then we're going to move on to the second question. I'm going to try to do this in a timely manner. I just want to go slow. I want you to get every drop of it. Who's going to come to the Lord? All that the Father giveth me. Let's start at Revelation 13 and I'll go in order. Yeah, Revelation's easy to find. In the back of your Bible, again, I'll read the text. Now listen to this verse of Scripture. Revelation chapter 13. When was it determined that Jesus would die on Calvary? I mean, did He come 2,000 years ago and all of a sudden He was killed and it wasn't planned? Or He was put on a cross and it wasn't planned? Now, Calvary wasn't an accident. Calvary was a plan. The Lord determined to send His Son to pay your sin debt before the world ever began. I notice this in Revelation 8, talking about Jesus' sacrificial death. It says in verse 8 of Revelation 13, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life. Now watch this about what it says about Jesus. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So it was determined that Jesus would die for our sins from the foundation of the Lord, of the world. Think about that. So Jesus was, I mean, Calvary wasn't, like I said, Calvary wasn't an accident. Calvary was a plan. Not only did He give you to the Son before the world ever began, but He also determined that the Son would pay your sin debt before the world ever began. That's why it says that He was slain from the foundation of the world. That's what it says. That's what it says. Now notice what else it says in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Now we know about the book called the Lamb's Book of Life, don't we? It's not only called the Lamb's Book of Life, but it's also called the Book of Life. Both books, that's the same book. I've seen some try to make their two different books, but it's the same book. Okay? Now what's in the Lamb's Book of Life? All the names of God's people. You ever heard that old hymn, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there and the books are open? And the Lamb's Book has the name of all of God's people in it. Okay? Now, notice what it says when they were written in the Lamb's Book. This might surprise you. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Now watch this now. Whose names were not written in the book of life? From when? From the foundation of the world. It says what it says, doesn't it? So He actually put your name in the book before the world ever began. That's when He did it. And everybody in there, guess what everybody in there is going to do? They're going to come to Him. They're going to come to Him and they're going to trust Him as His Savior. And guess what else I can tell you? I can tell you when Jesus is going to come too. He said, you ain't supposed to collect, you ain't supposed to make dates. That you would be right there. I don't know when this date's going to be. When that last lost sheep comes to Christ, that's when the King will come. When that last lost sheep is brought into the fold, He'll say, son, go get your people out of there. Now, who that last lost sheep is, I don't know. But I can guarantee you that everyone that's written in that book will come to faith in Jesus Christ. All God's people say it. Everyone. And when that happens, then the King will come. Now, Revelation 20, what happens if someone's not in the book? That's what it says in Revelation 20 and verse 15. What about those that are not in the book, not written in this Lamb's book or this book of life? Revelation 20 and verse 15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See? So, a person that's not, whose name is not there, will be cast into the lake of fire. They won't come to Christ. They won't trust Christ. They might hear things, but yet at the same time, they will die in their sin. Okay? All right. Now, this is question number one. Let's just recoup just here a little bit. And just I want you to catch every drop of it. Who's going to come to the Lord, according to John 6:37? Let me read it again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's no doubt in that matter, are there? He says, not that they might come. He says that they, what now? They shall come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Okay, you ready for question number two? Why do they come? And that's answered in verse 44. That's answered in verse 44. First question, who is going to come to the Lord? All that the Father giveth me. I showed you when He gave them. He adopts them. He provided His Son to pay the debt. Now, question number two, why do they come? Notice what it says in John 6:44. Is everybody looking at verse 44? Listen to what it says. No man can come to me. I'm glad it don't stop there. No man can come to me except. You see, there's an exception. There's something has to happen. Don't you thank God for the exception? Before I was saved, and everybody here tonight, before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and in sins. That's what Ephesians 2 said. You were a spiritual corpse. Dead's dead. Sometimes people say, I don't know how someone could sit under that sermon or whatever and not believe on the Lord. I can tell you, people are dead. I was the same way. You was the same way. You was dead in your sins. So to respond, what has to happen? You have to be made alive. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes you want it. He makes you see the mess you're in, and He makes you see the condition you're in. He makes you see where you're going, and you have a desire for it. And I can't give that to you. Only the Lord can give that to you. Let me use you an illustration. You remember Lazarus was, he died. And Mary and Martha's brother, he died. And he was in the tomb 4 days, if I remember right. He was 4 days in the tomb. Jesus gets there. Now, could Lazarus come out of that tomb on his own? I just want you, could he? No, because can anybody tell me why? He was dead. And the dead ain't going to come out of no tomb. If Lazarus couldn't get out of there, because why? He was dead. I'll tell you what happened, though. And Jesus came to the end of that tomb, and He called him. And He said, Lazarus, you come forth. That tomb opened up, and out of there he came. Does anybody know why? Jesus gave him life. That same thing is true spiritually. I was a spiritual corpse. I listened, but it didn't sink in because I was dead. Dead people don't respond. You can make clear as crystal, but dead people don't respond. But I want to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit touches someone's heart and opens it, opens their understanding, they come out of their tomb and they want the Lord. They want to be saved. It's a willing thing. It's not a forced thing. It's something they want willingly because He makes them alive. Everybody see it? So it says that no man can come to me. And why is that now? Because he's dead. No man can come to me because he's dead. Now watch this now. Verse 44, let's look back at it. No man can come to me except... Now something has to happen. A person will not come on their own. They have to have the Lord working in their heart. You agree with me? And when no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him. That word draw is pretty cool if you want to look that up. But it just simply means to draw them. you can look in the Gospel of John, on over in the Gospel of John, whenever the disciples were they were drawing up their net. They were drawing the net. You ever draw anything up and that's what they're drawing up the net. Well, that's what the Lord does when He saves somebody. He draws them. He does it. A man can try to do it and they'll mess things up. Our job is to preach the Word. And the Holy Spirit will take the Word. Brother Tolley, and He'll draw them right to Himself. The Holy Spirit does that. Man does it because of false conversion. But when the Lord draws you, you come right to Himself. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. There's a text in the book of Isaiah, I believe it is, that says, He drew me with cords of love. That's what He does. He draws you right to Himself. You want to get saved then. You want to get saved then. You want the Lord. You want your sins forgiven. You want to be numbered with God's people. When that happens, the only Lord can do that. I'm glad that text don't stop with no man can come to me, aren't you? It says no man can come to me except the Father draw him. You know the reason why you're sitting in them pews tonight saved? It's not because you're smarter than everybody else. It's because the Father drawed you. You give all the glory to the King. Jeff didn't save you. Sunday school teacher didn't save you. No man saved you. You might have told him about it. But the Father took that message. Billy, that's what He did. He draws you right to Himself. And He saved your soul. Doesn't it make you love Him just that much more? If it hadn't been for Him drawing you, boys, if it hadn't been for Him drawing you, you'd be in your sin. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm getting happy. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Man, I believe this. I'd like to think I'd die for this. They too many arrogant Christians, y'all think? They act like they're better than everybody else. And they fail to realize that the reason why they're saved and know what they know and have what they have is because of the Lord. If it wasn't for His grace and His drawing and His making you alive, you'd still be in your sin. Listen to this text. I like this. I love this verse. Listen. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you have not received? And if you received it, why do you glory as if you have not received it? That's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Now, this is a question here, too. What, you want to answer it? Now, who made you to differ from another? God did. It wasn't for God, His drawing, His making you alive, you'd still be in your sin. Don't make you love Him that much more. He made you to differ. And that gives the glory where it needs to be. And it should help you from becoming arrogant. Of course, where would we be at today if it wasn't for the grace of God? Are you still in 1 Corinthians? Let's look back at 1 Corinthians 1. On our way back to where we're going. I'm almost done. Key to that's almost, but that'll help you get you a little bit excited about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 24. But unto them which are called, that's that inward calling you receive, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 26. You see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty and base things. I mean, look at the riffraff God chose to save. Look at the riffraff God chose to save. You say, well, Jeff, you're talking about us. I sure am, all of us. We all was riffraff. If it wasn't for His grace, we'd still be in our sin. Need to remember that. Notice what it says, verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things. Now, God hath chosen the weak things, verse 27. God hath chosen the things which are not, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But, now, here it is, verse 30, of Him, it's of Him that ye are in Christ. Everybody see it? It's of Him that ye are in Christ. So, in verse 31, who's to say to glory in then? If you're going to glory, you glory in who? You glory in the Lord. Because He's the one that saved you. The Father's the one that chose you. Gave you to the Son. And the Son came and paid your debt on Calvary's cross. Then the Holy Spirit seen to it that you heard the gospel message preached. And the Holy Spirit in the new birth made you alive and brought that view out of the tomb of your sin and called you right to Himself. All God's people say it. That'll bless you if you believe it. That'll bless you if you believe it. Oh man, it's there for you to see. Let's go back now to John 6. All right, we looked at two questions. Who's going to come to the Lord? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's who's going to come. That's what it says. Question number two, why do they come? Well, it says no man can come except the Father do what? Draw him. So that's why they come. The Lord draws them. Now let me ask you another question. What if the Lord don't draw them? They won't come. They'll stay right there where they're at? Absolutely willingly stay that way. That's why I said in John 5, you won't come to me that ye might have life. They don't want to. Not forced to. They're just doing exactly what they want to do. They're just staying where they're at. And will continue to stay where they're at. Unless they're what? Drawn. Question number three. I think a good question would be, why are they drawn? Why are they drawn? Well, notice verse 65 answers that question. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me. There you have that word. Except. The previous verse, verse 44 we looked at, said, except the Father draw them. This gives a little different word. No man can come to me except it was, everybody looking at it? Except it were given unto him of my Father. Given unto him. So no man not only is going to come because unless the Father draws him, but no one's going to come, and the only ones that's going to come is the one that were given to him of the Father. Everybody see that in verse 65? Except it was given unto him of my Father. All right, now let's go over to John 17. Look at a couple places where this word given. The reason why they're drawn is because they were given. Let me say that one more time. No man can come to me except it was given unto them of the Father. So the reason why they're drawn is because they were given. Let me say it one more time. The reason why they were called was because they were given. Are you ready for John 17? Now listen to this. This is Jesus's. Actually, this is the Lord's Prayer. The Word spake Jesus as He lifted up His eyes to heaven. He said, the hour has come, glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify Thee. Now look at verse 2. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Now watch this, Brother Coy. This is something. That He should give eternal life. Who's He going to give eternal life to? What's it say? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's who's going to get eternal life. As many as thou hast given him. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Let's turn back to John 10 now. Let me ask you a question. Pretty clear on the given part, isn't it? Do you know who the given are? No, you don't. You don't do that after they come. He tells us to present the gospel to every creature. I mean, you don't go around looking, you know, people don't wear a little shirt that says given on the back. They don't have a little mark on them that says given on their hand. You don't know who the given are. He tells us to go present the gospel to every creature. He's given us the privilege. Now, we ain't hard shells now. Been accused of that for a lot of years, but we're definitely not that. We believe in presenting the gospel to every creature. We present it. We share the gospel message. Show people why they need to be saved. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He takes that message and He draws His lost sheep with it. That's what He does. That's how it works. So we present it to everybody. That's why we got an internet ministry, radio broadcast. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we got a school. All these things. It's so you can reach the lost. The given. We don't know who they are. We just present the gospel. But boy, I tell you, when they respond to the message, when they respond to it and they trust it, that's a great blessing, isn't it? All right. Let's look further here now. Let's look further. John chapter 10. Here it's talking about his sheep. Notice what he says in verse... Here's the unbelieving Jews. They surround Jesus and they say, well, basically, if you're the Messiah, tell us. And that's what Jesus tells them. Verse 24, then the Jews surround Jesus, came around about him, and they said, how long do you make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Here's what Jesus says. Listen to him now. Jesus answered and said, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look at verse 26. But ye believe not. Somebody tell me what the rest of the verse says. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. That's why they don't believe. My sheep, what does his sheep do? My sheep, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Oh, God's people said, that's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be saved. Yeah. His sheep will hear. Why didn't those unbelieving Jews believe? Not sheep. Not given. They continued right on in their sin. No matter all the miracles and things that they seen Jesus do, they still stayed in their unbelief. You know, the unbelieving Jews, the Pharisees, they knew that Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Doesn't it look like they would have trusted in Jesus after seeing Lazarus resurrected? You know what they tried to do to Lazarus? They tried to kill him. That's how hardened in their iniquity they was. They believe not because it's not sheep. Okay? So why are they drawn? They were given. One last thing and then I'll recap and we'll close. Let's go back to John 6. When someone comes to the Lord, and I mean truly comes to the Lord for salvation and is truly saved. Sometimes folks make professions and they're not real. We realize that. The Bible teaches that. In the parable of the sower, it shows out of three people that make professions, three or two walks away. One becomes unfruitful, the other walks away. Two out of three do. That's about what I've been pastoring 33 years. That's about what you see, too. So not every profession is a true profession. It has to be from the heart. It has to be real. Okay? Now, the last question is, will you lose salvation? And I want you to listen to all the evidence that if it's real, you don't. Are you ready? Evidence number one. This is, will you lose salvation? What's verse 37 say? Of John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, what's it say? Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out. That means you won't be casted out the day you come, and you won't be casted out any time after that either. That's what it means to be saved. He will never cast you out if you've truly trusted Jesus. Don't do it. Isn't that wonderful? You're not always what you should be. But you got to understand, His love isn't based on your performance. He loved you while you was yet a sinner. He loved you before the world even began. He knew all about you. And He still loved you and died on Calvary. So if you're never casted out, how can you lose salvation? Don't make no sense, does it? Number two. Those that come to Him in verse 44 says they will be raised up at the last day. And the last day is the day that Jesus comes. The trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is going to come in the clouds. Dead in Christ shall... I'm sorry, the dead in who? The dead in Christ will rise first. They're going to get a new body on that day. He'll raise you up at the last day. We'll get a new body one of these days. I tell you what, this life... we got these old human bodies that are aging. They're getting old. They're getting weaker. Aren't they? I looked in the mirror the other day and went, oh my. I don't look the same. And things are changing, aren't they? You know why that is? I'm aging. So are you, gracefully. But so are you. We're all aging. You know why that is? It's sin. And eventually, if the great King don't come in our lifetime, we're all going to die. But when you're saved, the moment you die, you go to be with the Lord. Until the day of the last day when Jesus comes again, then we'll get a new body on that day. A new resurrected body, and we'll be like Him. But folks, if people don't have that, what do they got? Let me tell you how I look at things now. Each tick of that clock brings me closer to my heavenly home. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus, each tick of that clock is bringing you closer to losing everything that you have, including your soul. You need to have what I have. Will He lose salvation? No, He won't cast you out. Number two, He'll raise you up the last day. Now, are you still with me? One more verse, John 6:39. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which He has given me, what's it say? I'm not going to lose none of them. Jeff Sexton, don't you like that? Of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. He's not going to lose one of them. Every one of them is going to come to know Him. All the givens are going to come to know Him. They're all going to be kept. And He's going to see them all home to glory. He is. Isn't that great? So He will not lose. He will not lose nothing. He will lose nothing. He'll be raised up the last day. I tell you what, folks, that's what it means to be saved, isn't it? So here's four questions. Who's going to come to the Lord? Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me. That's the answer. It's right there in verse 37. Why do they come? The Lord's going to draw them. He's going to draw them. He's going to draw them with the Holy Spirit. He's going to make them alive. Why are they drawn? Because they are given. He draws the given. John chapter 6, verse 65. Will they lose their salvation? Nope. Because He's not going to cast them out. He's not going to lose one of them. Verse 39. And He's going to raise them up at the last day. All God's people say, isn't that a glorious text? You can't hardly go wrong by teaching that text. Let's all stand. Hope that blessed you. If that don't fire.